Welcome to the City Journal podcast. I'm Ben Boychuk, associate editor of City Journal, and joining me today is Troy Senek. He's written an article for the spring issue of City Journal called The Worst Union in America: How the California Teachers Association Betrayed Schools and Crippled the State. Troy, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
The worst union in America is an awfully bold statement, I think readers would say. Why does the CTA deserve such a distinction? What distinguishes the CTA from any other big union, like the UAW or the SEIU or the AFL-CIO?
Well, it is a dramatic statement, but the CTA's influence is pretty dramatic. I think what makes the CTA so distinctive is that there's no other union in America, whether it's the UAW or the SEIU or even the American Federation of Teachers, which is the big national teachers union, whose influence is quite so far-reaching. The important thing to remember about the CTA is that they sit on a mountain of money and manpower. You don't have to join a union to teach in public schools in California, but even if you don't, you still have to pay union dues. And technically, the union's supposed to refund you the balance of what they don't use for either collective bargaining or administrative costs. But there's some question as to how diligent they are about putting those numbers together. Regardless, the vast majority of teachers join the union. And when they do, their dues, which are often over $1,000 a year, are available for the CTA to use for political advocacy without the express consent of the members. So the union has about 325,000 members. And as of 2009, its annual income was $186 million, money which I should emphasize accrues to them tax-free. So the CTA has used this financial strength to become the dominant special interest in California politics. They are consistently, year after year, the number one special interest spender in the state. In the last decade through 2010, they spent over $210 million on political campaigning, which is more than the usual kind of special interest bete noirs, the pharmaceutical industry, the oil industry, the tobacco industry. It's more than those groups combined. And they're also far and away the biggest financier of the Democratic Party in California. And because California has become sort of a de facto one-party state controlled by the Democrats, it means that the CTA is the last interest group that anyone's going to stand up to. So while their goals may not be more maligned than other unions, the reality is that their sheer effectiveness, the ability they have to translate influence into outcomes, is what makes them the worst union in America.
Right. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Spending hundreds of millions of dollars over a decade on elections is one way to influence policy. How else does the CTA influence or even set education policy in the Golden State?
Well, in almost every way conceivable. You start by looking at how you finance education. California requires that at least 40% of the annual budget goes to K through 14 education, which is the legacy of something called Proposition 98, which was sort of the CTA's coming out party as a major force in California politics. And when you have a rote formula like that, it destroys the incentive to get more value for the money you're spending in education, because the dollars are going to keep flowing either way. And the CTA, which always pleads hardship in the classroom, teachers having to, you know, pay for supplies out of pocket and the like, actually shuffled a big chunk of that money into teacher salaries instead of spending it on the students, and which gets us to teacher pay. The average annual pay for a teacher in California is $68,000 a year, which is the highest in the nation. So if two teachers get married, which is a fairly frequent occurrence, they're pulling down almost $80,000 a year more than the median California household. And then they can retire after 30 years with a pension that's equal to about 75% of their working salary, which on average sees them pulling down more money than working teachers in about half the states in the country. And when you go beyond the averages, it gets very messy. You've got nearly 5,500 education employees in California right now who are making six-figure pensions. And all of these inflated numbers are a result of the tremendous bargaining power that the CTA brings to the table and the resistance of the politicians they fund to do anything about it. And the CTA has also made it virtually impossible to fire an underperforming teacher in California. The number of teachers who get dismissed after more than 3 years is 0.03%. And most of the time, you have to do something that's either obscene or criminal to get the boot. The LA Times actually did an expose on this in 2009, and they found out that only about 20% of the teachers who were fired statewide lost their jobs because of factors that had to do with their teaching abilities. And part of the reason for that is the CTA PA has won concessions in the disciplinary process that are enormous. The evidentiary process, for example, is the equivalent of being in civil court. And the cost of the process is so high, it's routinely around $500,000, that the incentive is for the administrators to just shuffle people around instead of firing them. And then finally, they block any efforts to reform the way that education is structured, many of which happen to be by ballot initiative because there's no hope of getting them through a legislature that's dominated by Democrats. In 1993, they pulled out all the stops to kill Prop 174, which was a school voucher initiative for California. They were at one point falsifying signatures on petitions. The president of the union at the time said that there are some proposals so evil that they should never go before the voters.
Right.
And they've done this over and over again with performance metrics for teachers and with paycheck protection and the ability to fire bad teachers. You repeatedly see this. And it really culminated in 2005 when they spent $58 million in opposing Arnold Schwarzenegger's reform initiatives.
Right. Now, speaking of California governors, the CTA spent millions of dollars, really, getting California's current governor, Jerry Brown, reelected in 2010. Elected again after he served the first time.
Re-reelected.
What role, just so people know, what role did Brown play in making the CTA so powerful?
Well, the genesis of CTA power, as we understand it today, is a piece of legislation called the RADA Act, which Brown actually signed into law very early in his first stint as governor back in 1975. And that act allowed for collective bargaining for California teachers. And in its wake, the CTA became enormous. Within about 18 months, you had 600 of the 1,000 local chapters moving to collective bargaining. And you've seen over time the union grow from 170,000 members to the 325,000 it has today. Some of that's natural growth, of course, but a lot of it is both the increased power of the union and the increased professional necessity of joining the union. And Brown, though he makes some reformist noises elsewhere, is by the evidence still unwilling to touch the CTA. I mean, you mentioned the money that was spent on his campaign. They're seeing a return on that investment. One of his first acts as governor was to fire the reformers on the State Board of Education, and one of the people he replaced them with was the CTA's top lobbyist. Last summer, he signed a bill that was rammed through the legislature with about an hour's notice that prevented teacher layoffs or program cuts and required the union to sign off on furloughs, which, of course, was laughable. And that measure also kept the schools from having to budget for the downturn in revenues in the state, basically walling them off from reality. And even with pension reform, an area where Brown's been pretty good, he has conspicuously not touched CalSTRS, which is the teachers' pension fund, even though they have about $56 billion in unfunded liabilities. So their influence on Governor Brown continues apace.
Yes. Now that brings us to this year's election, because there's a fight going on in California right now about the prospects of at least one, possibly two ballot initiatives that would raise taxes in the state. The CTA has a big dog in this fight. Tell us a little bit about that. What is the CTA's stake in particular in Governor Brown's proposed initiative to raise taxes on people making on earners making more than $250,000 a year and raising the sales tax?
Well, the CTA, unlike the California Federation of Teachers, which is the other major teacher union in the state, has been behind Brown's tax initiative from the get-go. Brown won over the CFT eventually by making some concessions to a rival tax plan that they preferred. If you listen to the CTA, they claim that they want this new tax increase pushed through because basically classrooms are starved of resources. If you look at the material they put out, they'll tell you that they can't afford any more state budget cuts, and Brown is threatening to cut another $5 billion from education if this thing doesn't go through. There have been cuts, of course, to California education recently, but one of the things it's telling, if you look at the CTA's rhetorical approach, is that they really emphasize that this revenue is going to be used for directly for education and not for bureaucracy or administration. And one of the reasons for that is because, you know, under their supervision, that's where a lot of the money is already going. You've seen ballooning figures for administrative hiring and bureaucratic spending in California at the same time in some places the teachers' positions have been being cut. But in many respects, I think their real interest is finding a revenue source to make up for the shortfall in CalSTRS, in the pension system, where they have an annual shortfall right now of $4.5 $1 billion, which is money that the, you know, the government doesn't show any signs of being able to come up with, the state government. And if Sacramento can't do it, then the burden falls to the local school districts. So the teachers union really seems to be eyeballing money here to make up that shortfall. As far as it being used in the classroom, the prospects are pretty dim.
Well, it's a the CTA shows no sign of going away anytime soon. It's going to be a big year for them, perhaps. The piece, again, in City Journal from the spring issue of City Journal is The Worst Union in America. The author is Troy Sinek. For City Journal, I'm Ben Boychuk. Thanks for listening.